What I want to bring to you, to your attention today, rather, is something that has come to my attention. Whenever you think of the word righteousness, you know, what do you think of? Do you ever think of the word righteousness and think of it as a doctrinal issue? A lot of times that I would think of the word doctrine and righteousness, I would never put those two together. I never really thought of them as being an issue with one another. But as I mentioned today with denominations in churches today, how they have liberalized themselves and they have accepted so many different doctrines, the way that someone becomes righteous is now so vastly different than what you would read about in the scriptures. Whenever you read about someone being righteous, and how did they get that way? Well, it's so different today than what it's presented to us in the scriptures about. And so, it left me scratching my head as to whether or not that was a doctrinal issue, but indeed it is. It really is a doctrinal issue. And that's what happens when you try to get too fancy with your animations. One will be there and the other one won't. All right. So, as I say, there's a great misunderstanding today when it comes to the term of righteousness. Whenever we start asking the term, what do you believe righteousness is? You know, some people have a different view of what righteousness is. Some people, if you were to ask them what righteousness meant or who is righteous, you might say someone that's a good person is a righteous person. But is that really the case? A lot of times in our society, especially today, that's where it's starting to go toward, is if you're a good person, then you're a righteous person. Well, what defines the word good? How do we define that? The idea of righteousness goes all the way back to the Old Testament, though. And so that's where we get this Hebrew word, which means righteousness. So, what does that mean? Well, that means the state of being righteous, either by righteousness or subjectively or objective, through our morals or figuratively, justice, moderately, right, righteous. So, whenever we talk about righteousness, specifically from the Old Testament of righteousness, you see, there we go. Okay, there we go. It's more of that animation. I really didn't know it was coming. I thought I got rid of all the animation. It's really messing me up there. Okay, so the state of being righteous is either that a person is morally good. Well, who decides what's morally good? You know, in today's society, we have a problem, especially with the teaching of evolution. We can't really decide what's morally good. Because what you believe is morally good is different than what I believe is morally good. You know, there was a time in the world's history that a whole nation thought that it was morally right to take a whole number of people and to put them in death camps. That was morally right for their society. But was it right? No, other people in the world would look at it and say, well, that wasn't right. How dare them? It was right to them. Why was it right to them? Because they had a different standard of what right was. It was different. So where do we have our standard of righteousness at? Some people would say, well, a righteous person then is someone that follows the law, that obeys the law. They don't break the law. They don't speed down the road. They don't run through stop signs. You know, they do everything that they're supposed to do, and that makes them a righteous person. If we look at the Old Testament then, and not worry about today's point of righteousness, if we looked at the Old Testament and said, well, what was a righteous person in the Old Testament? You might say, well, a righteous person from the Old Testament would be someone that was following the law of God, that they did exactly what God told them to do. And that they kept his laws exactly how he told them to keep them. Well, as me and Britt were talking about before the church service, about the minor prophets and some of the things that they wrote to, in the Old Testament about the nation of Israel, you see time and time again how Israel kept turning away from God. And so we know that they had a problem themselves in being righteous because they couldn't keep his law. And so in the Old Testament, righteousness is fundamentally an attribute of God. You read about righteousness, it's something about God because God is all faithful and just. He never breaks his promise. He never breaks a covenant with someone. Whenever he says that he's going to do something, he does it. Righteousness attributes then to God alone, true righteousness. He alone is the one that remains faithful in everything that he does. So we sometimes think that righteousness is all about someone trying to feverishly be working to try to make up for something that they had done. But the truth is whenever you had broke that law of righteousness, whenever you had broke just one commandment in the law, you were no longer righteous. You could no longer obey another law that would make you righteous. So once you lost that state of righteousness, then that was something that you were in trouble. Because the law could not give you back righteousness. And so you got a lot of debate today going on in the religious world of, well, if you're doing anything, if you're obeying God in any way, you're trying to earn your righteousness. And they say that you're working for your salvation and you can't work for your salvation. Well, that was it in the Old Testament concept for real. You could not earn your salvation. Today is a play on words that people just don't understand what they're talking about. Psalms chapter 71 and verse number 15, he says, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. Whose righteousness? The Lord's. I'm going to tell of your righteousness, Lord. This is why in the Old Testament, you see righteousness as being an attribute of God. It's always given to God. It's David saying, your righteousness and your salvation, it has no limit to it. Now, Genesis, we have Abraham here. And in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 16, it says of Abram, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. The Lord accounted his belief in him as righteousness. God made a promise to Abraham that when he had commanded Abraham, Abraham obeyed what he had told him to do. Now that's a very basic concept. You can see that I have given a command and then my son followed through with that command. That was kind of how it went with Abraham and the Lord. The Lord said, Abraham, I want you to go to a place. The difference is Abraham had never been to that place. And I want you to leave everything behind you that you know. I want you to take up. I want you to go into a country. And whenever you do this, I'm going to bless you and your seed. And it was going to be through his seed that all nations of the earth would be blessed. Did Abraham earn his righteousness? Well, let me ask you another way. What if Abraham had heard God? Abraham, I want you to go to a place. I'm going to show you this land. I'm going to give it to your seed. And all nations of the earth will be blessed through you. What if Abraham had heard that of God, believed that God would really do that for him, and then he did nothing. He stayed there and didn't go to that land. Would that have been counted to him as righteousness then? Because that's the exact argument that is used for us whenever we say we're told that we're to hear, to believe, repent, confess, be baptized. They say, oh no, all those things are necessary except for baptism. Whenever you do baptism, then you're working for your salvation. You're working for your righteousness. God commanded it of us. All we're doing is trying to obey what the Lord had told us to do. What if Abraham had not done it? Said, no, Lord, I can't do that. If I do that, I'm going to be earning my own righteousness by going to that country, and I can't do that, you know. It's just not how it worked. So they had the law of Moses then that came about. Before Abraham, there was not the law of Moses. Now here comes Moses on the scene, and you got the law being given to them. So what were those laws? In Matthew chapter 22, verse number 36, you have an ordeal with Jesus and the lawyer. And the lawyer comes to Jesus and he's testing Jesus. And he asks Jesus a question. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? Now what did Jesus answer the man? In verse 37, Jesus is going to say, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The first and great commandment was to love the Lord with everything that we had. He says, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We know that righteousness didn't come by the law, because the children of Israel couldn't follow the law. In fact, they had a hard time just following these two laws. The whole two laws that all the law and the prophets hung off of, they had a hard time just obeying those two laws, let alone all the rest of the laws that they had to keep. You see, you were a righteous person so long as you didn't break the law, but as soon as you broke the law, you were guilty of a whole law. And then you had a problem in the New Testament whenever the church was established, that you had people that were teaching that you had to go back to the old law and follow the old law, and that's where Paul wrote about them falling from grace. Because we couldn't be saved by the old law. Righteousness couldn't be had by following after the law. At least not if you broke it. Because there was no commandment after you broke it that could ever establish the righteousness back to you. So if we observe the whole law, it would be righteousness, you see. He says in Deuteronomy 6:25, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all the commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. If we can keep all these commandments, it will be counted to us as righteousness. But they couldn't do it. They had a problem. They had a problem in the fact that every time God would deliver them from something, they would turn their back on him again. Every time God would lay down a commandment, they would do the opposite of it. It's a great idea to follow after all those laws. It's a good idea to do what the Lord has said to do. But the problem was that the children of Israel couldn't follow the law. So, he says in 1 John 3:4, whosoever commits sin transgress also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And so as soon as they transgressed the law, they became sinners. And that sin then separated them from God. And now they had a problem. They weren't just lawbreakers, they were now separated from God. And how would they ever get reconciled back to God? Because there was no law given that was going to be able to make them righteous. The problem was there. James 2:10, he says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Why? Because once you've broken the law, there's not another law that you can obey to make you righteous. Oh, it's good. You know, you get caught running a red light, you got to pay the ticket. It doesn't matter if you stop at the next one, and the next one, and the next one. The judge isn't going to excuse the one that you did. Or at least no judge ever did it for me anyway. Well, the same thing is true about the law of God. Once you have that law there, and once you break it in one point, you're guilty of the whole law. And you have to pay the price for that penalty there. There was a problem. We had a problem in the fact that no one had obeyed the law. The people everywhere had broken all of God's law. The chief musician here in Psalms chapter 14, verse number 1 through 3 writes, a psalm of David, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if they were, if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. I guess that scripture from Isaiah would fit in good there. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags because we had no righteousness. Everyone today has fallen into that category of sin, and it wasn't because I was born into this world and my father was a sinner and so I inherited his sin. That wasn't the case. Rather, the fact that I had fallen under the same condemnation that everyone else had fallen into by disobeying the commandment of the Lord, breaking his law, becoming a sinner. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. The Lord could not, the children of Israel kept turning away from the Lord. They could not follow the Lord's law perfectly. They continually turned from the Lord to follow other gods. You have them worshiping Baal in the wilderness. You have them worshiping gods from Egypt. You had the Deuteronomy study that we worked on together that you had them told explicitly time and time again throughout that whole book. You're going to go into this strange land. You're going to see these other gods, but don't learn their customs. Don't follow after their ways. Whatever they're doing, don't learn to mimic them. But they did it anyway. And they would turn from God, and then God would cause something to bring them back, to stir their remembrance, and they would repent. And then they would turn back around, and they would worship Baal again, or some other god. But even though they could not be righteous based off their own deeds, the Lord expected them to follow them. As the psalmist said, that they were all gone astray. None of them were perfect. Therefore, they could not be righteous, but the Lord expected them to follow them still. Proverbs 15:9, he says, the way of the wicked is abomination unto the Lord, but he that loveth him followeth after righteousness. Whoever loves the Lord is going to follow after righteousness. Yea, though you're going to go, you're going to stumble, but you're expected to follow him. To continually try. So what were they to follow after? Well, they were to follow after the Lord, Jehovah. They were to chase after him. Yes, they had messed up. Yes, they were sinful. Yes, there was none that did good. He alone, God alone, was righteous, and they were to follow him. But no matter how hard they tried to keep the law, they could never become righteous, never become righteous. Could they be righteous by the law? No, I've already overemphasized that enough. No, they could never become right by the law. The law could never, ever bring them back to that righteous state. It wasn't going to happen. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 21, he says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. You see, if the law could have made them righteous, Jesus didn't have to come to this earth. If the law could have established them, once they had fallen from that righteous state by disobeying the law, if there was another law in there that would have made them righteous, then Christ did not have to come. And whenever he did come and die, then he would have died in vain, because there was a law that would have made them righteous. But the problem was, is there wasn't. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise of by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law, which was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You see, Jesus was the only one able to keep the old law perfectly. He's the only one that was able to endure the temptation that was thrown at him and yet remain perfect, because he didn't disobey the law. And by doing so, he ushered in a new law, one that we are to follow today. You see, righteousness did not come by the old law, but righteousness came by Christ. Now, was the old law unrighteous? No, the old law was not unrighteous. It was given by God, and what God gave was good, but the problem was not in the law itself. The problem was within man to keep the law. And whenever man disobeyed the law, then they were strangers to God. They were sinners. And then they had to wait so many thousands of years before Jesus finally came onto the scene, and he kept the law and ushered in his new law. That was weird. So, he says, in our last slide here, this is actually part one of the study of the law. After faith had come, we were no longer under that tutor. You see, the law brought us to Christ. Paul would go on to say, as we continue the study of righteousness, about the law, that he had not known sin except the law had said, you shall not do this, you shall not do that. The law then condemned him of his actions. We're no longer under that tutor today. We're no longer under the old schoolmaster, the law. But we're under the that of Christ, through Christ, through faith in Christ. And he says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that's a true story, that we cannot be righteous without Christ. Because of ourselves, there's nothing that we can do. There's no law today that we could obey to make us righteous. But we can go to the Lord. We can accept him and be buried with him in baptism. Put on Christ. Because he was the one that obeyed the law for us in order to bring us righteousness. And so as we close out that study today, I would ask you to look at your life and consider the areas in which you are struggling and the things that you face in your life. Do you ever find yourself in life thinking that you have been following after the things of this world, chasing after the things of this world, following after a strange concept of righteousness? Not believing in the truth of how to obtain righteousness. Righteousness doesn't come through obedience of the law, but through obedience to Christ, obeying the gospel, doing what he said to do.